Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
David finds himself now with those clouds and darkness that comes blowing into his own life, which leads to secondly, the winds and the storms that begin to increase. We end up finding him really in verse 8 and 9, when David now really starts living a life of duplicity.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel 27, if you would. And I'd like to give you a little overview that I hope would be of a help to you. But as preparing for this, and the title of the message, I think, is Rainy Days in a Muddy Hole. And I'm going to get to that, but it's subtitled, How to Get Out of Hot Water. And I think would be a better subtitle for this, and I put this down, but probably is What Comes Out of Hot Water. That might be a better subtitle to this. My children mock me sometimes because in events that take place for our daily living, I have a great propensity to draw application, personal application or some kind of spiritual truth. I can't even watch movies. I don't care how good this movie is. Somewhere along the line, I'll ruin it by trying to make some application or so anyway. Maybe a lot of guys do this. One particular father that was a chef did just this. And his daughter had come to him and said, Dad, in my spiritual life, it seems like I just keep getting into trouble. I get into one trouble and get out of another trouble and get one hot water and another hot water. And it just seems like it's unending. And he was a chef. So he ended up going to the kitchen, said, honey, come to the kitchen. So he went to the kitchen and got three big pots, filled them with water, and put them on the burners. So he had three pots that were going on the particular stove. And then he took three objects out of the kitchen, out of his refrigerator. So in one particular pot, he put, what are these right here? Carrots. In another pot, he put, what are these right here? Okay, eggs. And this is what he put in the third pot. You know what these are? What are these? Highlander grog coffee beans. Third pot, he put coffee beans right here. You dads already know where I'm going with all this, okay? And so in putting those objects in the pots, eventually, and he didn't say anything. Eventually his daughter said, Dad, what are you trying to say through all this? He said, well, it's really simple. So he fished out of the first pot these carrots, and the second pot fished out the eggs, and the third pot he looked inside the pot. And then he said, honey, this is just simple object lessons to help you understand that when just as carrots that are hard and go into the pot, they come out what? Soft. And for eggs that come in soft, they come out of the hot water hard. And for the coffee that goes into the hot water, what comes out? What's changed? The water's changed. So his application very simply was that as people go through times where God turns up the heat in their life, that many times you'll end up finding as our life, as it was with David's life, that David at times early in his life, that when his heart was hard, somewhere along the line, he understood what God's word was, softened his heart, and his heart became so tender that God said he was a man after God's own heart. Then we'll look at 1 Samuel 27, where you end up finding David, whose heart was very tender, that unfortunately got very hard against what God wanted him to do in his life. But ultimately, in the bigger picture of David's whole life, over the 70-year period, David's life was as if it was coffee, that those coffee beans that changed his environment, because David's life impacted his whole environment. At this particular point in 1 Samuel 27, David literally is days away from becoming the king. I mean, we're talking probably within a month or so of the chain of events that start taking place, that David now is the reality of what Abigail had knew. David, you're going to be king. Even Saul knew David was going to be king. David knew, by virtue of the events that took place way back here, David, you're going to be king. And within just days of David having a fulfillment of all that God promised, David made a critical mistake. And that's what I want to look at just briefly for you, because I think it's important to understand that when we end up having our own rainy days and times that we end up finding ourselves in a muddy hole in which it's like, am I ever going to get out of this? That those are the times that God ends up using as we are His children of God. We personally, if we made a choice to give Him our life, that He will use all that ultimately for His glory. And so He did with David. And I think they're valuable, timeless truths. I'm going to look at three of them. But let me look at a couple of quick stages with you, if you would. 1 Samuel 27, look at your Bibles if you would. And the very first statement of this particular chapter, notice as you would, it says, "And David said in his heart." That is such a powerful statement, because David said in his heart. There are 10 times that phrase is used through Scripture, and all of those are statements in which are unveiling David's fear. We all find ourselves at times that we're fearful. That's what insecurity is, putting our trust, our confidence in things that can be taken away. And David spent some time in that muddy hole, and there was nothing wrong with necessarily how he got into this bog. His problem started when he looked for his own way, and he got into problems because it started with David said in his heart. Notice what he said, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." And David arose, he and passed over the 600 men with him, and they went to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. Who's from Gath? What great characters from Gath? Goliath. David finds himself, very simply, if I could title this, as the clouds and darkness that come. Those feelings of despair that chill us, like, as one author said, an unexpected downpour. It's when we run for cover in an enemy camp that disobedience begins, and that's where we find David, because basically David, in this statement, he said in his heart and began moving away from where he was in 1 Samuel 26. This was, again, in 1 Samuel 26, time in which Saul could have been killed by David, and David chose right. And it seems right after great choices that ultimately we end up making a wrong choice. You end up finding David here basically had a three-part process. Number one, he was humanistic in his viewpoint. David was coming down from roller coaster high. When David said to himself, and when we listen to ourselves, it's important that we're saying the right things, and David wasn't. He didn't look past the cloud in the sky. Not once in the chapter does he seek God's perspective. He was very humanistic in his view. Number two, he was very pessimistic in his reasoning. He basically had figured, listen, I have nowhere out, and even though everyone else was saying you're going to be king, even including his own enemy Saul, he came to the point of realizing, you know what, I've got no place else to go. I'm just going to have to do this. And when you get in that position, you're going to be in trouble. Thirdly, not only the humanistic viewpoint, the pessimistic reasoning, but there was a rationalistic logic. He basically said, listen, there's nothing better for me than to escape in the land of the Philistines. And so he ends up moving into a land which ultimately was the land of Judah, and that ultimately was Israel's promised land, but he was still in the enemy of the camp. And I'm going to mention to you that so often what happens to so many people, they get themselves in a place that ultimately, as it says in verse 7, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was what? It was 1 year and 4 months, which ultimately was a wrong place with wrong people and wrong principles you're operating off of, and it put David in a place of having very, very difficult time hearing God. Fact is that some of those psalms that were extracted from that time period, Psalms 10:1, he says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in the times of trouble?" He says in Psalms 13:1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Or as he says in Psalms 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" David finds himself now with those clouds and darkness that comes blowing into his own life, which leads to secondly, the winds and the storms that begin to increase. We end up finding him really in verse 8 and 9, when David now really starts living a life of duplicity. He's now kind of living a double life, knows verse 8. David and his men went up, invaded the Geshurites and the Gizites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of the old, the inhabitants of the land that goes to Shur, even the land of Egypt. He says in verse 9, David smote the land, and he didn't leave any man or woman alive. He took basically everything. He's in this complete extermination where he's living this dual life. You find in verse 10, he's very vague. He's kind of living in an out-and-out lie when the Achish is saying, whither did you go and do the road today? David says, well, I went down to the south of Judah, and he's skirting all the issues, and he begins deceiving the king, and ultimately, he's leading a life of secrecy. David, verse 11, saved neither man nor woman. And he was basically clearing house and exterminating individuals that, verse 12, Achish believed David. And David finds himself now in a life in which he, David, is living this life that becomes one of really great depression. He's away from God. He's in a place in which he is that carnal Christian, could we put in our own vernacular today? He's a miserable specimen. Redpath says it this way, a man who talks like this, as David was talking, was at this breaking point, and the recurrence of his own moods of depression was putting David in places of disobedience. So I ended up saying to you that just when people get to that place, David puts himself, if I could look at it thoroughly, as the injury and the devastation that occur. You end up finding this in chapter 29. You say, well, Pastor, you just skipped a whole chapter in chapter 28. What's up with that? We don't have time to go through all of 28, but maybe I could just take a quick diversion, because at the same time that David is finding himself now in wrong positions, in wrong places with wrong people, the same time Saul now is having, listen, documenting events that are not much different than it is today. And the whole story in 1 Samuel 28 begins telling of Saul, who, after Samuel, verse 3, was dead, Samuel, who's now gone off of this earth, that Saul pursues the medium. Notice verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him and said, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets, that Saul had said to his servant, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. And Saul began seeking for some extra supernatural medium in order to hear back from Samuel, the very one that he had rejected. And again, we don't have time to walk through all this, but I think it's a good point to be noted if you have a chance to read through this text, that God is the only time that you'll find in all of Scripture that God allowed a human to be able to be brought back, in essence, from the grave in order for him to be able to speak something to another individual, to tell them something that to be true. This is what you end up finding. You say, well, that's why you end up having today, you end up seeing medicine women. You find people that can have spiritism. I remember when I was a kid, when Harry Houdini, he had passed away, and he was trying to seek mediums to do the same. It's interesting that what he ends up saying in verse 12, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul, that this lady, this medium, she knew that this was God's power. She didn't have the ability to bring somebody up from the grave, but they would have aberrations. They would end up calling up spirits. That's the only time in Scripture you find this. I only say this because in our own part of the world here, you end up finding many people that end up running off of fear when you end up having spirit world and interacting with spirit world. And Satan himself cannot create anything. He can only counterfeit. And so he does so often. When people end up looking for the supernatural, they end up finding Satan, who ends up taking one event in Scripture and acting as if this is how God always does it. And that is not how God operates.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.